perchlorate sites. Mr. Briggs?
Thank you. We have written reports on the four perchlorate sites, Olin, Whitaker, McCormick Self, and United Defense. And to augment that, and we have had quite a bit of action on the first one, the Olin Corporation site. And so to augment our written report, David Athey of our staff is going to provide an update this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board. David Athey. I work in the perchlorate DOD section of the regional board. I'm here today to talk about specifically about the Olin site and give you some updated information, as Rogers told you. First, I'd like to do is just kind of go over the project approach so far, what we've done, how we've been handling the project, to give you an idea and a background. And then I'll be specifically talking more about a draft cleanup and abatement order recently issued to Olin Corporation. So first of all, as you see here on the screen, the Olin site is located in Morgan Hill, which is in the northern end of the Yaugis groundwater subbasin. At the site itself, I'm going to start there. We focus the investigation on soil and groundwater. Specifically, this is the source of the contamination. So our efforts have been in directing Olin towards source removal, or containerizing the source in terms of groundwater, containing it on site. So in terms of soil cleanup, Olin is currently performing ex situ soil remediation, and that is going along nicely. The last report from Olin in December, the levels of perchlorate in the soil had gone from about 7,800 micrograms per kilogram down to about an average concentration of 80. Now that's not at the established cleanup level yet, but Olin is continuing to place nutrients and water on the soil pile to attain cleanup. Now I don't want that to be a little misleading, that they're getting down to the very low level and all the results have perchlorate still. Some results came back. I think 4 out of the 11 have non-detect levels of perchlorate, whereas before they all had detections, above 5,000. Once that is complete, they're going to backfill basically the hole on site and start in situ, applying nutrients and water to get that going. We anticipate that happening hopefully within the next month or two. Now, in terms of groundwater, Olin has installed a groundwater containment, basically a pump and treatment system on site, the downgrade and edge of the site. According to their graphs and figures, they're capturing on-site groundwater in the lower A and the upper B zone, where the contamination is mainly leaving the site. And recently they did submit a report summarizing their activities for the last quarter. And I believe they've, in the previous 3 months to December, they removed, 3 to 4 pounds of perchlorate from groundwater. Now, moving on, the next area staff has been working on is the northeast perchlorate, seen there in the pink coloring. Perchlorate was first discovered in the city of Morgan Hill Wells back, I believe, in early 2003. The date's not really important, but at that time, regional board staff directed Olin to investigate the occurrence in this area. Olin submitted a work plan, and regional board subsequently approved that work plan with some modifications. It required basically Olin to investigate past practices. Was perchlorate impacted groundwater spread throughout the basin or north of the site and used for irrigation? Are there other sources of perchlorate that they could track down? Also, beyond that, A second task was installing piezometers off-site once that first investigative approach had gone through. Olin took a little different approach. They decided to work up a groundwater model instead, along with the investigation into past practices, and submitted that, I believe, last September 10th. Regional board staff reviewed that model, and we determined it was deficient and didn't answer the questions, you know, is this Olin's perchlorate? So on December 8th, we directed Olin to move forward with their plan and install the piezometers up gradient, or what some consider up gradient, but really northeast site. We're still trying to determine that. In addition, we directed Olin to sample wells in this area, actually just about in this area where this box lies. Look at how many wells are there and sample those wells. In addition, we directed Olin to conduct a forensic investigation in this area, basically looking at the chemicals themselves, strontium and the isotopes, and comparing those isotopes from the site groundwater to groundwater up gradient. That's kind of an oversimplification of the whole process of forensic investigation, but essentially that's what you're doing. You're trying to determine, does the chemicals you find here at the site match isotopically to the chemicals you find up here in the Morgan Hill wells or wells in this area, groundwater, excuse me. Olin subsequently agreed to install the piezometers and has submitted a work plan in which current regional board staff is reviewing. However, Olin did not agree with sampling of the wells in that area or the forensic analysis and requested a board hearing to review that, reconsider staff's decision. They also appealed to the state board. However, they stayed that. They asked for a stay on that hearing pending regional board consideration. In the interim, staff, Eric and I, went back to Olin and really to kind of compromise on this issue. We had asked for monitoring of every well up gradient quarterly, and we determined, you know, we wanted to move this project forward, and getting into board hearings and appeals at the state board, I think would just bog down this whole process of answering the question, what is the, you know, we need to know, is this Olin's perchlorate or is it not? So we negotiated a stay of their hearing request, which essentially Olin has agreed to sample a select number of wells up gradient based on lithology, well logs, and aerial coverage. So they we expect a work plan for that sampling on the 17th of February. In addition, the Santa Clara Valley Water District has agreed to carry forward the forensic investigation. So the stay is conditioned on those two items happening. They have to perform the sampling by, I think it's July 1st, and the Santa Clara Valley Water District has to move forward with the forensic investigation. At any one point those do not happen, then the regional board staff can then return, basically have the hearing on Olin's request. So in review, Olin has agreed to that. And regional board staff is looking at the piezometer work plan and working with the Water District, COMEX, and Olin. And I just heard from Tom Moore yesterday that the district is going to be providing us a work plan very shortly in the next couple weeks on the forensic analysis for our review, also for Olin's review. Next, I'd like to move into the area. I'm just going to touch on this briefly because I'm going to go into more detail in a second on the draft CAO. But essentially, the draft CAO covers the areas of known or threatened site-related contamination down gradient. And when I say threatened, I mean this area, any area that we don't have any signs of perchlorate but maybe need to protect, especially, for instance, the city of Gilroy has several supply wells in this area right here that I don't know if they have contamination. Let me say that again. Currently not shown to have contamination that I know of. And a fourth approach, we have an alternative water cleanup and abatement order that requires Olin to supply alternative water to wells that test at 4 ppb and above. So now getting to the cleanup and abatement order, we issued a draft CAO, cleanup and abatement order, on February 4th. We had a three-week comment period. We present actually back up a little bit. We made a presentation at the community advisor group meeting on that day to let the community know what was in the order and explain it to them exactly what it does and does not do. We provided a three-week comment period to the community and interested parties so they can get their opinions in and their comments into us for consideration. And again, it applies to the southern area, perchlorate of known and threatened contamination. And here it is again. I just wanted to show this again so everybody's clear where that is. It's basically areas south of the site. And I do want to mention one thing. If it is shown through the 13267 letter investigations that we've issued to Olin that it is there, that Olin is the responsible party for perchlorate in this area, we can either amend the CAO or issue a new CAO with the same requirements or similar requirements to this area down gradient, south of the site. Okay, the first item in the CAO from the ordering paragraphs, we're requiring Olin to submit information for additional groundwater investigation. A lot of characterization has been done down gradient. However, regional board staff doesn't feel that the lateral vertical extent has been delineated. They've relied on supply wells, as you've heard from me in the past, long screen lengths, typically long gravel packs, or multiple screen lengths also. So Olin will be submitting a subbasin monitoring plan down gradient, and as I understand it right now, this will include a proposal to install wells, actually monitoring wells down gradient, and it'll also lay out their plans on how if they want to use supply wells to characterize the contamination, how will they test those supply wells to tell us that they have, that the data coming from them is good? You know, is it 6-6, or is it really 12 and we're getting a long screen length and it's being diluted by, 2-1? The next item will be a well installation and characterization work plan. This will tell us exactly where they're going to put the wells and at what depths, all the nitty-gritty details. The third item, once they do A and B, they're going to come back with a characterization report. They're going to tell us what they found. Did they indeed delineate it with the wells they installed, or are there data gaps? This report will be coming in March of next year, and it will also be the basis for their cleanup plans and throughout the basin. Another item is this will be required every year hereafter to be updated, to ensure that this monitoring system is optimized. Now, moving on, the second item is plume migration control. And this really deals with areas of threatened contamination. We don't believe that there's contamination there yet. And this is going to consist of an assessment report. Tell us what areas are threatened and is there action that is needed to protect them, i.e., the Gilroy wells down gradient, the supply wells. Is there action needed to protect those from further migration north? Currently, the plume is believed to be past the city of Morgan Hill, past Highway 152. Once that comes in and Olin says that, indeed they need to do something, or the EO determines they need to do something, they're going to submit a feasibility study. What are they going to do? How are they going to do it? Where are they going to do it? What's their best choice? Then, of course, we'll get a work plan for our review, and then Olin will be required to implement it. With that, we move into cleanup. The cleanup part of the order requires Olin to propose a Yaga subbasin cleanup level. And that'll be, once that is accepted by executive officer, then that will be the basis for cleanup. coupled or included in the order is a cleanup feasibility study. These things, the cleanup and migration control run simultaneously. The only part that kind of comes before those two events is the characterization. So once it's characterized and regional board staff feels comfortable that indeed they have a handle on the plume, we'll get a feasibility study for cleanup, same idea, plans, time frames, to a lesser extent costs for the cleanup. Excuse me, once that is approved, we'll get a work plan, and then we'll be required to implement that work plan. You know, with that, are there any questions from the board?
Bruce?
I went to the Sackler website, as I often do, to look at their map. They had traditionally put out a map quite frequently showing the monitoring that had happened, and it indeed did show one of the hits south of 152. But that latest map was June of last year. So is monitoring continuing to try and get the lateral extent, or has that stopped in the last three quarters of the year?
No, monitoring hasn't stopped. Actually, Olin has been working on a comprehensive monitoring plan for that area and has been working with the Santa Clara Valley Water District and Regional Board staff to determine what is appropriate. But they continue to monitor.
Is happening further south to try and get the extent of the plume?
I see your question. I don't believe Olin has stepped out farther than that point at this current time.
Okay.
But that'll be something we address in the Yaga Subbasin monitoring plan.
Good, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, board members? Mr. Briggs?
As Mr. Athey said, we asked for a pretty short turnaround time on comments. We've already had discussions with folks who are involved with this prior to the PCAG meeting, the Community Advisory Group meeting. But as Mr. Athey said, that was the first presentation to the community itself. So we had promised before when we talked about this cleanup abatement order last year that we would provide an opportunity for comment. There was a request for folks to have that opportunity as opposed to just issuing it. So, but we did want to have a pretty short turnaround time because of the, you know, the urgency of the issue and wanting to proceed. So once comments are received back, we are going to be issuing that order just as soon as we possibly can. But I think we've got on both the issue of the north perchlorate and with the cleanup abatement order, I think we're in pretty good shape in terms of having Olin proceed and hopefully not having to spin our wheels too much with petition or first hearings before the board, petitions, lawsuits, and that sort of thing. And so I look forward to being able to proceed pretty rapidly throughout the rest of this year.
What is the timetable on that?
Actually, you've got a back pocket slide, I believe, with a time schedule, because we thought you might
ask that question.
Interested in that. You mean in terms of the work? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So the top box is additional off-site investigation, essentially taking the February 25th date. If Roger signed it that day, we'd get this plan back in March 25th, so essentially 30 days after CAO is issued. Then we get a well installation and characterization work plan June 3rd. March 30th of 2006, we get the first characterization report. Thereafter, it's January 1st, but that's set out in the order. Cleanup and plume migration, as I said, are run concurrently or parallel tracks. The cleanup level report comes in January 31st. The feasibility study, June 30th. And after that, there are dates established by the work plan acceptable to the executive officer. And then on plume migration control, it's similar. It's March 3rd, 2006 for the assessment report. And then EO set dates 60 days after acceptance by executive officer.
How are they going to be able to do this plume migration work if they don't yet know the extent of the plume because they haven't done further south testing?
Correct. They anticipate doing testing. We worried about the same thing, and they anticipate they're going to do the testing this year. It will, you know, we anticipate having the wells in this year and sampled. And while they do come in before each other, they will have data before that time to base their future reports on. Even though like the final report hasn't come into us, they will have the data in their possession. And the order does allow them to ask for a time extension, say we don't have, you know, we need data from this area, we're going to go out and get it, and so we can complete this report. It does have the flexibility in that respect. A lot of these dates, I always try to work with the discharger. You know, what dates can you make? What's realistic? And also we try to keep in mind our own time, you know, so we don't have reports pile up that we can't get to and cause unnecessary delays. So we've tried to structure that, and in the next, we anticipate working with Olin in the next basically 2.5 weeks to sort this all out and get good time frames. But these right now look acceptable, from what I understand from Olin.
Why is over a year required for the assessment report for the plume migration?
Well, that gets back to the characterization. They have to go down and characterize the plume near the southern extent of Gilroy. It's basically this report comes in based on this data they collect here, and we wanted to give them enough time to collect enough data and get the wells in to make a good assessment.
Any other questions by the board? David, thank you.
Thank you. I do have a copy of the CAO. I'll just pass out for your information.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, what's the board's preference? Timeout. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shawcross. But let's talk about maybe the other issues we've got and whether we want to advance them or not, because I see we have everyone from Salinas here, and perhaps we can advance then when we come back from our break. Item 25, which would be the status report, and then we can get right into 26. Mr. Briggs, how does that sound? And
well, we said that was going to be later anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, we told someone that we'd do the enforcement at 11. So, are we? In fact, I even wonder if we can get the Salinas done before lunch. So would that end up? Kind of
well, by the time we come back from a break, it'll be 10 to 11. And so I don't know if you want to do Jennifer's report and then go back to enforcement, and then go back to Salinas?
Well, I would. We have all of them here, and I hate to, you know, we're not going to be getting to them for a couple of hours.
Yeah, you wouldn't get to them until after lunch if that was the case, if you followed that procedure.
Right.
I would advocate for getting to Salinas as soon as possible. I'm not really sure why to make them wait.
Well, only that it's later on the agenda. That's my suggestion. Let's advance what we can. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, Tom Moore with the Santa Clara Valley Water District would like to speak on the perchlorate issue.
We have a card.
Aye. You're right. We're going to back up.
Guess we'll do that first.
We'll do that. That's easy.
Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Mr. Moore.
No problem. Good morning, Chairman Young, members of the board. My name is Tom Moore. I'm the perchlorate project manager for the Santa Clara Valley Water District, and I'd like to speak to you this morning about the recently issued cleanup and abatement order. The order issued on February 4th is a major milestone in this case, and as you've been following this, I'm sure you can see that quite a lot has been hinging on this step, and we're very pleased that this step has arrived. On December 14th, my board of directors of the Santa Clara Valley Water District met at the Gilroy Council Chambers, and Mr. Athey attended. And at that meeting, we presented what we called our conceptual cleanup plan and identified what we believe must occur to address this problem. And in effect, in a nutshell, that could be boiled down to say that we were seeking a comprehensive and time-certain cleanup plan. And we believe that the order that regional board staff have crafted is, in fact, responsive to that request. It's presently we are taking a triad approach. The order does not address all parts of the problem, but there are two other pieces, as Mr. Athey mentioned, the alternative water supply order that was issued this past July, and there's also the 13267 information request leading to investigation of the problem affecting Morgan Hill to the northeast. The magnitude of this problem, your board is in the unique position of managing what is perhaps the country's largest scale private well impacts from an industrial source. This case is just amazing in its magnitude. And yet the largest problem in terms of the number of affected consumers of the water is in the Morgan Hill area, where supply wells affected there serve the largest number of connections. So we do look forward to an expeditious resolution to the northeast issues. And they have been contentious, and it is difficult for those to be resolved in the routine regulatory framework. But we hope that we can find a way through that and identify the sources of perchlorate affecting the city of Morgan Hill as well, so that they, too, can obtain redress from this process. We are relieved that there's been a stay of the evidentiary hearing that was slated for the end of next month, because there, too, I think that enables staff from all concerned, Olin, ourselves, and the Water Board, to focus on getting work done and moving this case forward. And recently, just 2 days ago, Olin announced in the Gilroy Dispatch that they are preparing to deploy their first wellhead treatment unit on a domestic well, which is a bit of a first, since there's been some new engineering required to accomplish that. And I see about a time. I just have two more brief points I'd like to make. We'd like to see more of those units deployed and see if that puts a dent in the problem. And as David mentioned, we're interested in assisting the regional board and the city of Morgan Hill with performing some investigation ourselves, subject to review by all vested stakeholders, regarding background conditions and sources of perchlorate. As Mr. Daniels pointed out, our map is out of date, and we apologize for that. We've been awaiting for some electronic submittal from Olin so we can update it more easily and less laboriously, but that does need to be updated, and we concur with your observation that the southerly extent of the plume does need to be wrapped up. We really would like to see a lot of non-detects defining the limit of contamination. So we look forward to continuing working with staff. I'd like to directly thank Mr. David Athey, Eric Gobler, Laura Yokin, and Roger Briggs for a very substantial amount of staff effort on this case, which we think is commensurate to the magnitude of this problem. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thanks, you.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
As you mentioned, one of the problems with this area is that there's so many wells that are impacted, and often that the problem is that they're individual wells. Has there been any effort to try and get the number of wells reduced by, you know, sharing wells or putting together mutuals, and that would allow us to move forward with some of the cleanup perhaps faster than having to put systems on all?
It does make sense to address the wells that serve the largest number of people first. And, in fact, Olin has already done that with the largest systems, the San Martin County Water District system serving 200 connections in a school, and the West San Martin Water Works system serving 250 connections. After that, the next tier, I think, are at a maximum getting close to 20 or so connections, or perhaps a business where there's more than 20 laborers drinking the water. But, unfortunately, the geography of this region is a lot of five-acre parcels, single-family homes with one well, and they're not interconnected. So what's absent is the substantial amount of piping. We did an analysis to see, you know, what would it take to bring in imported surface water, throw up a treatment plant, and do a, you know, central distribution system. It's more than 60 miles of pipe for a single system, but it is possible to optimize distribution to look at clusters and see whether –